everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on this Thursday afternoon. It's September the 16th, 2021, Mexican Independence Day. We're going to ask Keith Rosenblum about that when Keith's on the program at 12:30. The difference between Cinco de Mayo, which Tom Fairbanks, engineering, producing the show, some people think Cinco de Mayo is Independence Day, and it's not.
No, I think that has something to do with
a certain battle or something.
Between the Mexicans and
the French, I think. Anyway, Tom, you reassured us yesterday on the show that the smoky air, the smays, will be out of the area this weekend, I hope.
National Weather Service is saying that we're going to be getting some mixing air coming in over the next couple of days, and by this weekend, the air quality should be good.
Okay, we'll hold you to it. In our 11th year here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, our radio station, the call letters are KVOI. We are 1030 Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website. You can live stream the program at also at KVOI.com or BuckmasterShow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie is with me, and Mr. Christie always says there is one job he has always dreamed of, and he's got it.
Well, I don't know what kind of dreams I've been having, but I don't know if I've told you this before, but I love being supervisor.
What is it about this job you love so much? You're a people person, which was proven as you were a kind of a hands-on in the car business here in town, had a great reputation. You were not one of the auto dealers who would hide in the office. You interfaced with customers.
Yeah, I've always was admiring a certain banker. I don't know if you ever knew a banker in town by the name of Harry Chambers. Harry was a very successful banker with a number of banks in Tucson. And I remember as a kid, we had one of those field trips where you went to a bank and you opened up a savings account and they took you to lunch, and it was mm-hmm. their way of kind of presenting you with their their savings and checking accounts and things of this nature, getting you acclimated to saving money. And I remember walking into the lobby of Mr. Chambers's bank, who happened to be good friends anyway with my parents, and he had his desk on the lobby floor.
Was that Valley?
I believe it was.
Yeah.
And
Valley National.
And it was right in the middle of the lobby, mm-hmm. and everybody saw him in plain day, and he did all of his work and administration and every kind of management issue right there in front of everybody. And I thought, wow, that's impressive. Mm-hmm. And I know a couple of other bankers have emulated that. And when I got into a management position with my dealership, I did pretty much the same thing. I had my office right on the showroom floor with the door open and no curtains, no blinds, and anyone who needed to see me about anything could just walk right in. I didn't have a secretary blocking, or even if you called, no one screened my calls, and it would go right to me. And I found not only was it great public relations, and not only did I enjoy it, but the more accessible you are to your clientele and your customers, the less they demand to see you if there's a problem or if there's an issue. It's when you blockade yourself or put a moat around your office or your place of business and make yourself invisible to your customers. That's when they pound their fist and I want to see you.
Yeah.
Well, if you're right there, you know, there's no need for them to get upset, and any kind of issues that arose could be amicably and easily remedied.
And now your customers are the people of Pima County.
And I look at my district as my dealership. I look at my constituents as my customers. Our office is the parts and service
And hopefully you're colorblind to whether a complaint comes, whether it's a Republican or Democrat or whoever it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They're independent, whatever the
just
political.
Just like in my dealership, everybody's money's green. And the same thing, we look at it in my district, is they're all my constituents, they're all my customers, and I love being supervisor.
this redistricting, we had Dan Scheer on the program with me Friday, and we were talking a little bit about redistricting and about county supervisor districts. And Dan was pointing out that there in Sahuarita, there are basically there are parts of the that are represented by three different supervisors.
Yeah, that's true, and it has been that way for a while, at least as long as I've been supervisor. And quite frankly, the line that delineates or designates which supervisor is which is very cloudy. And I have a little strip of Sahuarita, and Chair Bronson has a little strip, and Supervisor Hines. We all kind of share a little area of Sahuarita, and I think it lends itself to confusion among the constituents who their supervisor is. It also kind of takes away any incentive for a supervisor to try to get more engaged in that area, because they're not sure if the constituent is theirs or Supervisor Hines or Chair Bronson's or Supervisor Christie. So I think if there's anything that can be remedied with redistricting, it would be to put that area of Sahuarita, which is, as you know, growing mm-hmm. phenomenally and mm-hmm. just a terrific community under the supervision of one supervisor.
Your district also includes Mount Lemmon.
It does.
And Mount Lemmon is having, or has had, maybe over now, a record amount of rain.
40-some inches.
40-some inches.
Yeah, maybe
that's
even more
than the city of Seattle gets in 1 year.
Well, thank God we're not the city of Seattle.
But, I mean, it is so green up there.
Yeah, it really is. I haven't had the opportunity to be up there, but I've talked to a number of people and a number of constituents up there, and they say it's like Maui and Ireland, just lush green, and we're so grateful for the rain. And I was always told growing up in Tucson, never complain about the rain.
No. Let's talk about the anniversary this week. It's been 18 months, Steve Christie, that the pandemic began in earnest. Let's reflect for a little bit on what Pima County would have been like if the county had gone along with the way you had seen the way we should mitigate the situation.
I think there would have been a lot less suffering of businesses, of employees, of business owners, of the community in general. I certainly recognize the seriousness of the COVID pandemic. I realize that there needs to be attention paid to it and efforts put into effect to try to mitigate it. However, there are certain boundaries that I don't think any kind of physical mitigation or any kind of mandates could have really made any difference as far as the spread of COVID transmissions. If you look at the other side of the situation, what the mandates and the proclamations and all of the efforts that were inflicted upon the residents of Pima County, either by the county administration or the majority on the Board of Supervisors, or by the public county health department, with masks and mask requirements, I think those types of mandates and those types of policies caused more harm, more problems long term. I'm sure that we're not yet fully aware of, and that I think as we move towards an acceptance that this virus is not going to go away, we have to learn to live with it and not fear from it, and not to segregate communities in our region here that have to be mandated or are being mandated to be vaccinated. I think all in all, the health and the economy and the resiliency and being able to survive something like this would have come out a lot more positively.
What about disincentives? You were the lone vote. The vote was 4-1 on September the 7th. You and your colleagues put this to a vote about what are called disincentives for Pima County employees who don't get the shot.
To me, there's such a level of hypocrisy that it's not only problematic, but it's very troubling because it's hitting a community right where it matters the most, and that's in their pocketbook. If you don't if you don't comply with our demands that you be inoculated, we're going to penalize you with punitive actions. We're going to raise your insurance rates, and we're going to make you have regular testing, and that regular testing will come out of your pocket for paying for it. To me, that's nothing but a punitive, capricious way to address something of this nature. The other effort that is being conducted really is going to cause, which I think is not being addressed properly, is a huge opening up of liability. And I know a little bit about workplace issues and employee issues. And it seems to me that if my employer, my boss, let's say in this case, the county employees, and their boss is Mr. Huckleberry. If Mr. Huckleberry was saying, we mandate as part of your employment that you have to be inoculated, and if you don't, we're going to do this, 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 and it's going to hurt you. That creates, in my mind and my experience, a hostile work environment. And I know that, and I've said this before, any personal injury lawyer worth his or her salt would just grab a hold of something like this and run with it, because it certainly can be construed and defined as a hostile work environment.
Do you think Pima County is opening itself up to legal action?
Absolutely, and
action.
I think this is a bad approach. I don't think that even to incentivize inoculations and vaccines
with the $300 cash.
I think if you add it all up, and the time off that's going to be paid, and the average hour is now $15 an hour, if you add all that up, you're talking $3, $4, $5 million. And if the vaccine is so great, why do you have to incentivize it?
Let's talk about my favorite bakery in town. Let's leave COVID for a moment here, Steve Christie. You know what I'm talking about. It's Mona's Danish Bakery.
I was just going to say, I think it's Mona's.
It is Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. It's a Scandinavian pastry. It's light and tasty, multi-layered pastry. Comes in a variety of flavors. Steve, if you had a choice right now for something sweet at Mona's, what would you go for? Would you go for the croissants, which come in the chocolate or the almond or the butter croissant, or would you go for something else, perhaps a cookie?
I think that chocolate croissant is what I'd go for.
Well, that's 2 days in a row now that when guests have been asked, Dr. Trujillo of TUSD yesterday said that a chocolate croissant with that very deep baker's chocolate that Steve, our owner and up at Mona's, uses, that deep baker's chocolate. Yeah, Dr. Trujillo said he would like it with a nice cup of coffee. And then that chocolate croissant. Anyway, they're open right now. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. We'll be right back with Steve Christie. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Steve Christie is with me, Pima County Supervisor, who was the lone vote against the $2 million to house migrants who have temporary housing at a Tucson motel for asylum seekers who have tested positive or have been exposed to COVID-19.
Well, this whole issue really came to the forefront when I learned that Pima County was advertising for volunteers to chauffeur asylum seekers around Pima County to go to their various appointments in the asylum seeking process. They had to advertise for additional volunteers because the amount of asylum seekers coming in overwhelmed the social service agencies that were supposed to do that. So they needed to get volunteers. In that advertisement for volunteers, they advised anybody who wanted to volunteer that they very probably would be exposing themselves to infected asylum seekers. Now, that doesn't make sense to me in the first place, and the whole picture seems wrong. So here is Pima County providing vehicles, asking for volunteers to chauffeur asylum seekers around their various appointments. And then when I brought this up, I believe, and I still believe, that this could be a community spread situation where these infected asylum seekers are adding to the spiking of the COVID incidents. And I was castigated for that. I was criticized for that. I was told I had no right to even talk about that, that it was to keep my hands off that, it was not a problem. And then on top of that, at the same time, Pima County is isolating community groups like Pima County employees, and at that time, Pima County health workers, isolating and discriminating against them by mandating that they be vaccinated. Yet the asylum seekers that are coming in, they have no such mandates. They're obviously infected, and they, in my mind, are contributing to any kind of community spread. And I was told there's no problem with that. Yet we have to give $2 million to rent a motel to house, shelter, medicate, feed, and clothe infected, isolated COVID asylum seekers to the tune of $2 million every 4 months. This can go on for another close to a year at $2 million every 4 months. And it doesn't even have to come before the board for approval. So if we don't have a health spread problem with asylum seekers, and I'm not allowed to talk about it, why do we have to spend $2 million to house and clothe and feed and shelter and medicate infected asylum seekers who, by the way, are not mandated in any way to take any kind of vaccinations? It's given to them as a choice, offered them as a choice.
So you've been facing backlash and some suggesting maybe you should be muzzled on this topic.
Well, I would definitely say I was being criticized for it. There's no way that there's nobody going to muzzle me on this, but it certainly is a level of hypocrisy that it's okay to go after career-minded, hardworking Pima County employees or healthcare workers who, by the way, who their business is to fight COVID. Who knows better about the effects of COVID than healthcare workers? And they are not wanting to be vaccinated by a huge significant amount that's going to really have bad repercussions on our healthcare system. Yet, I'm not allowed to talk about the asylum seekers, but we need $2 million to house the infected ones because they need the isolation and it should be at taxpayer expense.
And I guess it will be the entire hotel. Over there, I think it's by the airport, 117 rooms.
I think it's more than that. I think it was 197 or something of that nature. But to me, this is that level of hypocrisy that just doesn't make sense.
Let's leave the COVID for a couple of minutes here. What about the RTA? The city is really playing hardball on this.
This is part of their of a number of approaches they're doing. They've started with the differential water rates for Pima County residents. Now they went to attack the historic PAYGO road repair situation that was passed by the Board of Supervisors 5-0 to repair our roads. They're attacking that. They're trying to pick up their football and leave the playing field on RTA and Pima Association of Government issues because they don't feel they're being represented fully. The a number of other issues that they're doing, particularly in their contributions to organizations, the county is taking the brunt of the amount that is being contributed to certain entities, and the city is not even coming anywhere close to contributing. All of these things are some sort of a power grab, and it's very troubling, very distressing. And the issue that keeps being raised is, where is the damage being done to the city? They're getting 64% of all the revenues from the RTA. The next 5 years, they'll get 92 or 94% of all the projects. Where are they being damaged? Yet they're willing to pull the rug out of the best plan we've had to fix our roads and to approach our problems with infrastructure that has a hugely successful 15-year track record. And for whatever reason they're doing, they're willing to walk away and ruin this whole great structure we have of collaboration among the jurisdictions in Pima County to work together to address our infrastructure needs. And they're saying they're the ones that are being damaged, and this is all unfair. This is a very troubling situation.
They have still not submitted their list of projects that they would like to see for the next plan.
That's my understanding as well, and they've been asked by the other jurisdictions on the Pima Association of Governments, and they were promised by the Mayor Rothschild that the RTA and PAG would be getting those, and the response was, well, there's a new mayor in town, and we're not at this point ready or willing to present them.
You're very concerned, it sounds like, that they will try to torpedo the whole plan.
No doubt in my mind.
But how important is this to the future of our community?
I think the process is a terrific way to draw the community together. It's a way to prioritize our infrastructure needs. It's a great way for the community to be involved and have a say in how our future should be laid out. And it was put in place with a plan and a promise that nothing would be changed once this was voted on. And here, the city of Tucson wants to change everything.
Is there a compromise somewhere?
I would hope that there would come some sort of common sense on the city council and the mayor.
You don't have all the time in the world on this. I know that, you know, there's still 5 years on the plan, but you got a lot of planning still.
And out of those 5 years, the city's getting 94% of the project. So it seems to me that it would be in the best interest of the city to keep this plan going.
And the water thing still moving forward.
They're still going ahead with it. And I know that there's plenty of talk within Pima County about how to approach this, and I don't think it's going to play out nicely for the city of Tucson.
That's the differential water rates, and we had Paul Cunningham on the show yesterday, and he said it would be a small amount of money per month, and he didn't see it being extended past 1 year, but who knows?
Yeah, and maybe he would like to pay that extra money.
All right, Steve Christie. So again, Steve, you love being a supervisor.
I don't know if I told you that
before. Yeah, I think you did. Thank you very much. We'll look forward to our next conversation.
And thank you for having me.
All right, Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, bringing us up to date from the way he sees things in county government. We're going to take our break right here. Coming up next, our border contributor, Keith Rosenblum, he'll explain what is it, Mexican Independence Day. So he'll kind of explain that and the difference between Cinco de Mayo. That's coming up as the Buckmaster Show moves forward on a Thursday. Coming up tomorrow, Fletcher McCusker, the Rio Nuevo chair, will be our Friday Focus interview. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love Green Things, especially this time of year when everything is so green, and you can put some of that green that is contained on the 13-acre site at Green Things in your garden. There's some beautiful plants that are waiting for you right now, waiting for a new home. And go by Green Things, 3384 East River Road, by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. This would be a great weekend to get some planting, get some fall color in the garden. And when you're over there, stop by Zocalo Village, all that merchandise. Some of it's beautifully handcrafted. I mean, it's all beautiful, but some of it is handcrafted in Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come by and tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. The website's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to one of two dozen contributors to this program, appearing regularly on our program, Keith Rosenblum, who covers Mexico and the border for us. He's a longtime observer of Mexico, having written for The Star and the Arizona Republic as a border reporter for those two papers. And he is with us right now. Hey, Keith.
Bill, I continue doing what I do best, which is to be a longtime observer of Mexico.
So,
and I challenge you to come up with a better long-term observer, and also to present me with more has-been credentials. Hello, has the guy done anything except for boast about his mediocre time with the written press, which doesn't exist anymore anyway, if I'm not mistaken?
Well, you also represented Congressman Colby.
And very inefficiently.
There was a little reunion. I think one of my Facebook friends, Bev Collier, showed on Facebook a little reunion of former staffers getting together with the congressman, who looks great.
Jim is indefatigable. He's with us. I believe he might be immortal. And I know for you, Bev being one of your 7,280,000 Facebook friends, you are an influencer. And we had a wonderful time, and it was great because Jim reminisced. He's been so much more endurable. He's been so much more enjoyable since he got out of office. I wonder about that. But it was a lot of fun, and it was organized by Hassan Hijazi, who was and Pam Harrington as well, who were there. And so we were able to, don't worry, you know, people can still remember slights from 20 years ago. It's like any relationship. So we were there to compare notes. And Jim actually told a couple of really funny stories. If you want to let me tell you one, I will tell it to you. But if not, we can save that for another time. We wanted to talk Mexico. Then I won't talk about Jim Colby's gatherings. But he did look great. It was wonderful to be with staff. And Jim is still very active. In fact, aside from renouncing the Republican Party, Jim continues to be a core, what we consider to be the Republican, the incarnation of the decent Republican. And that's why he resigned from the party however long ago. But he laments, and he's nostalgic, and he does come from a day when there was a lot more decency across the line. And we can talk about the good old days, but I can tell you from having been there that the polarization of that time is nothing in comparison to the polarization of times today.
So today is Mexican Independence Day, and how is that different from a very popular holiday, Cinco de Mayo, popular in this country?
I wish I could. I've never been a Mexican historian. In Cinco de Mayo are the Niños Héroes, the ones that defended Mexico against the incoming troops from the United States. And this is today or last night. And by the way, you have to congratulate or reach out and give a real compliment to Rafael Barceló, the consul of Mexico in Tucson, because last night the Fox Theater, free to the public, was a wonderful, wonderful Mexican Independence Day celebration. Sorry about that. At which the Pueblo High School mariachi group performed. The Tucson Symphony. I'm telling you, this was an other world experience, and it's a tradition now. And Consul Barceló was welcoming to everybody. to have a Venezuelan leading our, you know, the Tucson Symphony was wonderful as well. The entire presentation was in Spanish, or most of it was, with Mexican composers. It was beautiful. It really was an other world experience, and I want to doff my hat to him for that. The Mexican Independence Day is celebrating the independence from Spain, 1821. You have, thanks to the heroes of the Mexican Revolution. You have another revolution later in 1910. Mexico is a country of revolutions. Right now, President López Obrador would have us believe that we have what's called the Cuatro T, the 4T, which is another revolution in thinking. This is what he has been pushing for years, and he doesn't lose a single opportunity to insult the past five presidents. And Governor Durazo just took office, by the way, in Hermosillo, took office for governor of Sonora for his six-year term. And he also followed very much a template of López Obrador, which was to insult the last half dozen administrations in Sonora. So you can see the tactics, and you can see a lot of these tactics playing out also in the United States in terms of culpability. We blame those people. Even into Trump's, you know, third year, fourth year, it was still fighting the shadows of an Obama, or so he would say. And I think that's what López Obrador has done masterfully, is talking about how horrible the past has been. He's the hero of our times.
Let me ask you something. Is the issue of election integrity, and it seems like we're reaching a point in this country, regardless of who wins an election, somebody's going to say it's not legitimate or there's fraud. Is that a big issue in Mexico, or is it becoming an issue?
You know, here's the ironic part. It is an issue, but it's lesser in Mexico than it is in the U.S. That's the part that I find astonishing. There were allegations of fraud in a couple of the, they call them departamentos. There's 16, we'll call it municipalities, that comprise the Mexico, the state of Mexico City. And there were allegations of fraud there, but there's not the, it doesn't compare to us and doesn't compare to this new playbook in the U.S. that if you won the election, it had to be by fraud. And it to me, we're particularly vulnerable to it now in the United States because we're doubting science, we're doubting so many things. You might as well go ahead and throw elections into the mix. In Mexico, where they've spent huge amounts on election integrity, I would venture to say that the cost per person that they spent on the, what's called INE, it's the Instituto Nacional Electoral, the National Electoral Institute, has been huge to affirm the integrity of elections at every level. And so, no, in the last elections, which were a month ago or 2 months ago, there's always, you know, some cries, but there were very few this time. And relative to the number, because they had 500 deputies, basically representatives being elected. They had governors of 15 states. They had senators. So it was a huge election, but the amount of people that cried fraud were very few and less than what we have now in the United States.
Let's take a pause right here. We'll be back with Keith Rosenblum, more talking about Mexico. I want to ask Keith, what's the very latest on the border situation? It's Buckmaster on a Thursday afternoon. We'll be right back in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. the RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Be a great weekend to pile in the car or the truck and take off for a three-hour drive over to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment where it's going to be cooler than Tucson. Some great weather looking good over in Silver City. 5 to 7,000 foot elevation does make a difference. Temperatures in the 50s at night, and looks like mid to lower 80s. So should be very nice in Silver City. You can start your planning, and I hope you do right now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org for things to do. And there are a lot of them, like hiking in the very green Gila National Wilderness and visiting and staying at some great places. Let's welcome back on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Keith Rosenblum. And Keith, we're talking about the president of Mexico, President Obregón. I see that advisors to the Biden administration and to the president of Mexico have reopened after a four-year pause, talking about high-level economic talks, and I certainly hope they'll be discussing the issue at the border and maybe getting that going again with the trade between the two countries.
It's absurd for the border to be shut. It's great for Keith, because Keith now can, there's no line. The other day, I came into the U.S. both as a pedestrian and as a motorist, and it was the ratio of CBP people, Customs Border Protection, to motorist, I want to say, was like 40 people working and maybe six cars. So there's 40 people. And then on the pedestrian, there were five lanes open and no line whatsoever. So someone, please bring in some industrial engineers and have them analyze the U.S. Customs and Border Protection patterns of employing people, because the amount of money wasted at those moments to have people, basically an army of people, doing nothing. And when I say doing nothing, I mean they are chatting with one another, is a mystery, and it's a bit of an insult too. Anyway, back to there's no justification now. The Mexican rates of vaccination equal or exceed ours, and to continue to treat people in this fashion, as if we needed to be, you know, watching over them when they come into the U.S. The Mexicans, and I take this from you because I've been going to and from for the entire last 20 months of the pandemic. The Mexicans have been more cautious with vehicle spraying, with not being able to go into stores unless you had a mask on. The Mexicans have been more cautious than we have. So for us to be telling people, you know, somehow we're protecting the states from those Mexicans, it's a part of our entire xenophobic culture bill. And it doesn't pain me to say it. I've been saying it for so long, but it's just wrong. And it's bizarre that it's still shut and it shouldn't even be on the table. We should have opened the border 3 or 4 months ago.
And we haven't opened really Canada either.
I don't pay attention to that border. Mm-hmm. This one keeps me obsessed enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, it makes zilch. What we've done actually just makes this in a world of conspiracies. I know you're not. You promote some, but for the most part, you're not a believer in
no,
it.
No, I'm not.
But if you were a conspirator, you would say that it's the airline industry that is perpetuating this, because guess what? The fares have doubled and tripled coming from Mexico into the U.S., and we allow everybody to come in.
Right.
Come by ground, no way. Show us that you have, and I've done this, by the way, and I've written to CBP Nogales. They've been wonderful, by the way, on the exceptions. So when you had to have somebody come up, there was someone who worked for the city of Nogales who needed to come up and visit her mom at St. Mary's Hospital. There was another woman who needed to go to a softball tournament in Deer Park, Texas. So these exceptions, the people, the individuals at CBP are just wonderful. Mm-hmm. And they acted swiftly to make sure that these exceptions were met and in due time and everything. But as a policy, as a Washington policy, what we've done over the last 20 months has been bizarre. Well, not the last 20, we'll say over the last 5 or 6 months. Anyway, I understand that the next time it might open would be the 21st. That seems to be the magic day when it comes to whether we're going to open or not. But I sure hope we do. It's been so unjust. And the people who have been punished the most have been the merchants, the merchants of Nogales, El Paso, San Ysidro, you know, San Diego, all these people, aside from families. But certainly the merchants are the leaders.
Nogales, Arizona has got to have been taking a huge hit.
It has, except for it got too much money from the federal government.
Oh.
It did take a huge hit, but it also got a bunch of money. I forget what we call it, but it was part of the pandemic response. And so Nogales, Arizona, there's days where the beneficiaries have been the businesses and the government of Nogales, Arizona, plus the... Well, there haven't been. If you go and look at the parking lots in Nogales, Arizona, it's an interesting phenomenon because people park on this side, even though there's been almost no waits to come in. We're kind of accustomed to the long waits. You still see people paying $5 or $10 for the day to park just on the U.S. side and then walk into Mexico. I don't. I drive across or walk across all the time. But no, we've penalized ourselves as much as we've penalized the Mexicans when it comes to our vaccination policies at the border.
A lot of Americans cross over, or have before the pandemic, to get dental and medical care at a much lower cost in Nogales, Sonora. I wonder if all that has stopped.
Not at all, because I'm among them. Oh. Of course, I'm among them. I was at Laser Tech, my dentist, on 2 days ago. And I pay at all dentists. Your savings in Nogales were probably somewhere between a half to two-thirds of everything, and sometimes even more. And by the way, I've also been working on a project that's fascinating. It has to do with a cancer treatment that's called the Warburg Method that is being done now in a pilot way in Nogales, Mexico, that has to do with using insulin as the method to kill off cancer cells, which require a lot of glucose. And I've now become familiar with a bunch of Americans also who go down for that. So not only is it dental, but a lot of medical and now more sophisticated medical things as well.
A quick question: when Americans cross over, and you cross over a lot, you obviously don't have to have this COVID test to re-enter the United States that you would have to have if you were flying back into the United States?
That is correct. You have you don't require anything to go into Mexico except for a pleasant salutation, like mm-hmm. hi, good morning, buenos dias. And they actually now have made it the military, which is one of López Obrador's favorite, he is his singular favorite institution, now is playing a role at the borders as well. So you now have, we're in this weird position in Nogales, so both dealing with military people as well as civilian for customs. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's dealing with that, which is no big hassle, but it's just an interesting side point. And then coming back into the U.S., no, we're not asked any questions whatsoever. And half the agents from CBP and Border Patrol have masks and the other half don't. So evidently the decision as to whether to use the mask has been left to the individual agents.
Wow. So it's basically if you're flying back into the United States, regardless of what country it is, you do have to have the test, the COVID test, 3 days before entering the U.S.
Yes, but it's a pretty simple airport procedure. And they don't really verify it. I went through that myself. You just go online, click here, yes, I did it, and that's it. There's not a dot, there's no one analyzing the legitimacy of your response.
All right, Keith Rosenblum, always a pleasure. And you don't have time to tell us that Jim Colby story in about in 20 seconds?
I do. He's with John McCain, and they're visiting the president of Egypt, I think, maybe Mubarak, I'm trying to remember. Jim has forgotten his shoes, and so he lost his shoes en route. He buys a suit, he covers things up, and when President Mubarak comes in, John McCain says to him, hey, Mr. President, nice to see you. Look at what my colleague from Arizona, look how he doesn't, something to the effect that he doesn't care about your procedure. Jim had no shoes, or he had tennis shoes. That's what he had, tennis shoes on. And so McCain used it against him. It was collegial. It was a fun thing. But Jim had just used tennis shoes because he couldn't find his dress shoes. And the first jab he does is to tell the president, hey, Jim, look at my colleague. He doesn't think that highly of you.
Okay. So
that's his sense of humor.
Very cool. All right. Thank you, Keith. Always a pleasure.
Okay. My pleasure. Bye,
Bill. Keith Rosenblum with us on the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster saying, have a great afternoon.